Los Angeles Times Syndicate said people who wrestle with their consciences usually go for two falls out of three. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. This is a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God, and through him, there is one truth which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up along with ours as we continually search for clarity and understanding this one truth.
Well, we are not here to teach. We are here to seriously provoke your thinking according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good work. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together. We look to frame our comments in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 and 21. Quench not the spirit, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And the only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
And if you would like to contact us or suggest a topic for a future program and receive a Christian Questions travel mug, this is what you do.
You write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net. And Rick, it is November 20th, 2005. All audio and printed material are copyrighted and are the property of Christian Questions.
Okay, and Jonathan, you are far away.
Yes, I'm out here with my family, and we're in Jersey City, New Jersey, at a Bible conference.
Oh, very good. Good of you to call in.
Yes.
And folks, if you do have a Christian question or want to reopen a previously aired topic, let us know and we will see what we can do. So on behalf of my far away but not abandoning co-host, Jonathan.
Good morning, Rick.
And Fred, he's here, the guy behind the board.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We want to welcome you to this hour of our program. So you having a good time down there?
Oh, definitely.
Good. Got you up early, though, huh?
Actually, later than normal.
Yeah, because you didn't have to go anywhere.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
Didn't have to go drive into the studio or get breakfast.
Anyway, folks, we are here this morning. Where were we last week?
Well, Rick, last week our subject was, is it a choice or are you addicted?
Ah, yes.
We had a special guest, Bob Gray, with us.
Actually, no, we didn't. He actually called in.
Oh, that's right.
That was the week before.
You're right.
Aha. But anyway, that was a good program because it really dealt with some issues of difficulty for many, many people in dealing with addictions and the types of addictions there are and what to do. And bottom line is we've got to be careful when we get into those things. You know, I never did get that chocolate from Bob.
Oh.
But anyway, I digress. What's our subject this morning?
Well, Rick, the question is, what can you do if you're depressed? And our theme text is found in Psalms 143, verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in dark places as those that have been long dead.
Okay. And Jonathan, as you mentioned, we are talking about depression. And it's a word that all of us have had experience with. For some of us, this word depicts a constant battle that we fight in our minds. And for others, it's something that visits periodically, uninvited and unwelcome, and we're always relieved to see it leave. Last week, we talked about addictions and how addictive behavior is often an attempt to avoid depression and all that comes with it. What can we do about depression? Is there a recipe for removal? Well, while we are not anything close to experts in this field, and we want to stress that part, we can bring you good news. And it's not about your car insurance either. The Bible gives us accounts of heroes of faith who battled depression, and it tells us how they fought it. So stay with us as we examine depression from a biblical perspective to see if we can find guidance as to what to do if we are depressed.
Well, Rick, our first question for consideration, what are some biblical examples of depression?
And secondly, is there a biblical process for overcoming depression? And so, folks, if you have a thought on the subject of what do you do if you're depressed, give us a call at 442-6102. That's 860-442-6102. And, Jonathan, first we ought to start by defining what depression is from a medical standpoint. And this is going to be more than a paragraph because depression apparently is a very large subject. We got our information from WebMD.com. Actually, a very helpful website. So if you have questions on subjects like this, it's a great place to go, WebMD.com. So let's get started, Jonathan. What causes depression? And this is from WebMD.com.
There is not just one cause of depression. It is a complex disease that can occur as a result of a multitude of factors. For some, depression occurs due to a loss of a loved one, a change in one's life, or after being diagnosed with a serious medical disease. For others, depression just happens, possibly due to their family history.
And Jonathan, there are a number of factors involved in causing depression, and we're just going to rattle these off because there's quite a few of them. First of all, it says a history of depression in the family. It's believed that depression is passed genetically from generation to generation, although the exact way this occurs is not known.
Next point, grief from the death or loss of a loved one.
The next point, personal disputes like conflict with a family member.
Next point, physical, sexual, or emotional abuse.
The next point, major events that occur in everyone's lives, such as moving, graduating, changing jobs, getting married or divorced, retiring, etc.
Next point, serious illness. Depressed feelings are a common reaction to many medical illnesses.
Next point, certain medications can cause depression.
Next point, substance abuse. Close to 30% of people with substance abuse problems also have major depression.
And the next point, other personal problems. These may come in forms of social isolation due to other mental illnesses or being cast out of a family or a social circle. So basically, Jonathan, life can be a major cause of depression.
Yes.
Great. Now what? You know, you read that list, you say, well, that's pretty much everything on the list. I mean,
that's right.
Even things that are good looks like they can cause depression. Say, wow, I'm depressed just reading that list. So, and there are a number of different types of depression. And again, we just want to hit on them very, very quickly to just line them up because, again, this is a very, very, very large subject.
Well, Rick, the first point, the first type of depression is major depression. An individual with this type of depression feels a profound and constant sense of hopelessness and despair. Major depression is manifested by a combination of symptoms that interfere with the ability to work, study, sleep, eat, and enjoy once pleasurable activities. Such a disabling episode of depression may occur only once, but more commonly occurs several times in a lifetime.
All right, and again, that's major depression. And Jonathan, the thing that catches me on that is it's a profound and constant sense of hopelessness and despair. Man, that's just got to be, what a weight that must be to carry. Another type of depression is called chronic depression or dysthymia, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but we'll go with it. Dysthymia, sometimes referred to as chronic depression, is a less severe form of depression, but the depression symptoms linger for a longer period of time, perhaps years. Those who suffer from dysthymia are usually able to function adequately, but seem consistently unhappy. And some symptoms of dysthymia, and they're the same as major depression, are difficulty sleeping,
loss of interest or the ability to enjoy oneself,
excessive feelings of guilt or worthlessness,
loss of energy or fatigue,
difficulty concentrating, thinking, or making decisions,
changes in appetite,
observable mental and physical sluggishness,
thoughts of death or suicide.
Okay, so those are a lot of the symptoms of chronic depression, which is medically called dysthymia. I think that's the pronunciation. And major depression. Let's go on to another form. Isn't this exciting? Another form of depression.
Well, this one, Rick, is called bipolar disorder. And bipolar disorder, also called manic depressive disease, is a mental illness that causes people to have severe high and low moods. People with this illness switch from feeling overly happy and joyful or irritable to feeling very sad. Because of high and lows, or two poles of mood, The condition is referred to as bipolar disorder. In between episodes of mood swings, a person may experience normal mood.
And continues, the word manic describes the periods when the person feels overly excited and confident. These feelings can quickly turn to confusion, irritability, anger, and even rage. The word depressive describes the person's describes the periods when the person feels very sad or depressed. Because these symptoms are similar, sometimes people with bipolar depression are incorrectly diagnosed as having major depression. Most individuals with bipolar disorder spend more time in depressed phases than in manic phases. So that's a tough thing. If you've ever known anybody in that circumstance, the highs really truly are extremely high, and the lows are very low, and you can go rapidly from one to the other. Jonah reminds me of somebody who might have been bipolar. Because if you remember the story of Jonah, he was very happy for some things, and then just like at the turn of a small event, he got very, very sad and wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, let's continue with the next type of depression. And this type, I think, is something that is a lot more common than we might think.
Well, this one's called, Rick, seasonal depression, seasonal affective disorder.
Okay.
And seasonal depression, often called seasonal affective disorder, is a depression that occurs each year at the same time, usually starting in fall or winter and ending in spring or summer. It is more than just the winter blues or cabin fever. A rare form of SAD known as summer depression begins in late spring or early summer and ends in fall.
Okay, let's spend a little bit more time on this, Jonathan. Let's read through some of the symptoms.
Okay, fatigue is one.
Okay, increased need for sleep.
Decreased levels of energy.
Weight gain.
Increase in appetite.
Difficulty concentrating.
Increased desire to be alone.
So this is, and I think that there's a lot to this, the seasonal depression. A lot of times for folks, when especially when fall sets in and it gets colder and it gets darker earlier and the leaves are off of the trees, there's just this sort of letdown. And this is something that affects a lot of people. And again, they call it seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, SAD, which is pretty clever, actually.
And Rick, the symptoms of the summer SAD include weight loss, trouble sleeping, and depressed appetite.
So you have something that can be triggered just by the changing of the seasons as to our outlook on life. And that's a pretty interesting thing. It's obviously a little bit more mild than some of the other things we've talked about. But again, folks, we're talking about the whole idea of depression and what it means and how it works and things to look out for. And Jonathan, let's talk about one more type before the break here.
Psychotic depression. And roughly 25% of people who are admitted to the hospital for depression suffer from what's called psychotic depression. In addition to the symptoms of depression, psychotic depression includes some features of psychosis, like hallucinations, seeing or hearing things that aren't really there, or delusions, irritational thoughts and fears, irrational thoughts and fears.
Okay, and just again, let's read through the symptoms before we go into the break. Some of the symptoms of psychotic depression, they start out with anxiety,
agitation,
hypochondria,
insomnia,
physical immobility,
constipation,
intellectual impairment,
psychosis.
Okay, so now this is obviously a very, very serious form of depression, and this is where a lot of medical attention and so forth obviously seems to be needed. But Jonathan, so far we've talked about a number of types of depression. There is actually one more type we want to get into after the break. But at this point, Fred, why don't we go into the break? Folks, we're talking about depression, looking at it from a standpoint of medical types, and really want to get into what can you do about it if you're depressed.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 102.3 FM WXLM. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Christian Questions.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 102.3 FM WXLM. Our subject this segment, what can you do if you're depressed? Our number to reach us is 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And see, Jonathan, because we're doing this program on depression, Fred thought it would be good to have Loreen singing in there to keep everybody upbeat.
I like that idea. Good
we
idea.
Don't, we don't want to have people feeling down and out here.
That's right.
So get with the program, folks. Get up and do something and sing along with us. It's a sing-along hour with Jonathan and Rick.
That's next week.
Actually, you're right, huh? But, folks, we're talking about what can you do if you're depressed. And in the first segment, we talked about a number of different types of depression. There was one more listed on webmd.com that we want to go over, Jonathan. So why don't we start with that?
All right. And Rick, this is called depression after the birth of a child, postpartum depression. Now, postpartum depression is a complex of mix of physical, emotional, and behavioral changes that occur after giving birth that are attributed to chemical, social, and physiological changes associated with having a baby.
And when we say who is affected by postpartum depression, listen to this. About 50 to 75% of new mothers experience the baby blues after delivery. About 10% of these women will develop more severe and longer-lasting depression after delivery. One in 1,000 women develop the more serious condition called postpartum psychosis. And what factors, Jonathan? Let's look into some of the factors that increase the risk of developing postpartum depression.
Having a history of depression or premenstrual, go ahead and help me with that.
Dysphoric
one.
Disorder.
Thank you.
Don't ask me what that is, but it sounds pretty official.
Yes.
Go ahead. At the age, at the time of pregnancy, the younger you are, the higher the risk.
The next is living alone.
Or limited social support.
Children, the more you have, the more likely you are to be depressed in a subsequent pregnancy.
That just doesn't sound good.
No.
Marital conflict. Ambivalence about the pregnancy.
And a history of depression during pregnancy.
Okay. And this is one type, Jonathan, that this is a very difficult thing to deal with. We had the experience with the postpartum depression after the birth of a couple of our kids. And it was just a tough thing to deal with. And my poor wife, she struggled and she struggled and she struggled, and I got over it finally. But it was just I remember when the onset of the episode, she told me, she said, "It's coming. I can feel it." And just like she could feel it psychologically, like the world's caving in, and nothing changed, but everything changed. Very, very, very difficult. But anyway, there are different types. We won't read all the descriptions, but there are different types of postpartum depression. Postpartum blues, that's the most common, affects between 50 and 75% of women after delivery. Postpartum depression is more serious, affecting about 10%. Postpartum psychosis, which is far more serious, affecting one in about 1,000 women. And The causes are physical and emotional and psychological and physiological and everything else. But anyway, Jonathan, when we look at all these different types of depression, we talked about major depression, chronic depression, bipolar disorder, seasonal depression, psychotic depression, and depression after the birth of a child. Looking at all these types of depression is enough to make you depressed.
Yes, it is.
And we're not going to stop there, because those are the types of depression listed on this webmd.com. But depression is common. Depression happens to people. And it doesn't just happen to people now, but it happened way back in history. It happened to some of our heroes of the scriptures. And at this point, we want to take a little bit of time and identify just a few of the episodes of depression that some of those heroes of faith would have had.
And Rick, the first one that we'd like to look at is David. And David, as we all know, is a man after God's own heart, a man of many mistakes and bouts of depression.
And, you know, that's the interesting thing about David. We could have done this whole program on depression and just talked about David, because he had ups and downs in his life, and everybody does, but the thing about David's life is they were recorded. And
we have
more information on the things that happened in David's life. And he suffered some terrible tragedies, had some amazing victories, and, you know, his emotions, you know, followed all of these different conditions. Let's take a look at a few of the examples of depression in David's life. And folks, if you have a thought, the number is 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
Well, Rick, why don't we look at Psalms 31, verses 9 through 11.
And this is David's emotional condition while he was being pursued by King Saul. Remember, before David became king,
yes,
Saul was out to kill him.
That's right, and Jonathan was out to help him.
Right. You just wanted to throw that in, didn't you?
I did indeed.
Go ahead.
Have mercy upon me, O Jehovah, for I am in distress. Mine eye wasteth away with grief, yea, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I am become a reproach, yea, unto my neighbors exceedingly, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that see me without fled from me.
And so when you listen to this description, he's just pleading with God. He's saying, I'm in distress. Mine eye is wasting away with grief. My life is spent with sorrow. I mean, think about a phrase like that. My life is spent with sorrow. My life is passing away, and the common thread in every day of my life is sorrow. Talk about being depressed. And Jonathan, David was on the run from Saul for 6 years. I think that was 6 years.
It must have been so hard for him because he was anointed
right,
to be the next king, yet this was going on 6 years later.
Yeah. And you're saying, like, what did I do wrong? You know,
exactly.
I was supportive. I did everything I was supposed to do. And he's in this situation. So it's very depressing. Let's look at another episode of David's depression. This is later, much later in his life when in that first episode, he was running away from King Saul.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, and this is actually the context of our theme scripture, he's running away from his own son, Absalom, who's seeking to kill him.
And Rick, we find this in Psalms 143, verses 1 through 3. Hear my prayer, O Jehovah, give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment thy servant. For in thy sight no man living is righteous. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in dark places, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate.
Now, again, you listen to that description. He's smitten my life to the ground. He's made me to dwell in dark places, as those that have been long dead. Now, he's talking about living in caves, but psychologically, he's living in dark places as well. He says, my heart within me is desolate. I mean, think about that. I mean, when you think, if somebody describes themselves and they say their heart within themselves is desolate, what a sad, difficult situation for them to be living in. It's heartbreaking. And let's go on to another episode of David's depression.
And Rick, why don't we read Psalms 32, verses 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer.
And this is a couple of verses from one of the psalms that was written after David's sin with Bathsheba. And he was really running away from reality. He was running away from God. And it's talking about when I kept silence, when I kept this all within me. It's this thing is eating him up. And folks, I would imagine that we have all had experiences where perhaps we've done something and where we'd keep silent about it, and it just eats away at us. Over time, it just gets worse and worse and worse. David had the courage to write down what was happening in his life. And, you know, and I think he did that so we, at this point, can actually learn from his difficulties and his mistakes. And Jonathan, there's another experience of David's. And we're dealing with a lot of them because, again, we have a lot of information on his life. But this is from Psalm 38, and I want to read just a small commentary on this section of Scripture, because this really piles up some of the things that happened in David's life, and this is another psalm of great, great depressed feeling on his part. John Trapp's commentary says, it is probable that David had so laid to heart the rape of his daughter Tamar, the murder of his eldest son Ammon, and the flight of his next son Absalom, and other troubles that befell him, and it lists off a few, that it cost him a great fit of sickness, out of which, hardly recovering, he penned this and some other psalms. But this especially for a memento to remind him of his own recent misery and God's never-failing mercy to him. But can you imagine, Jonathan, having all that stuff happen with your children?
Oh, it must have been devastating.
Just absolutely, absolutely devastating. So let's read Psalm 38, verses 1 through 10. And listen to this description of just a being just sick with depression.
O Jehovah, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation, neither is there any health in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are loathsome and corrupt because of my foolishness. I am pained and bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am faint and sore bruised. I have groaned by reason of the disquietness of mine heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart throbbeth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me.
How'd you like to feel like that?
Wow.
Just a sad, sad description. Very, very almost poetic in its descriptiveness of how his life has just fallen into pieces. I mean, he says, there's no health in me because of my sin. My iniquities are over my head. They're too heavy a burden for me. I'm pained and I'm bowed. You know, he's so weighted down with these feelings. It's like he's bent over. I go mourning all the day long, on and on and on. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. The light in my eyes is gone. And it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart to see a situation like this happening to anybody in any circumstance. And
that's for sure.
And here we have a number of examples of David, a man after God's own heart, in many different circumstances because of many different experiences, going through very difficult times. And Jonathan, I take great hope from this, because of King David, a man after God's own heart, who made so many mistakes but was so loved by God because of his love for God. If he could get through it, then we can get through it.
That's for sure.
So we've talked a little bit about David, and yes, we're going to continue talking about depressing things just for another couple of minutes. So let's talk about Peter and the Apostle Peter and the challenge that he faced.
And Rick, why don't we read from Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75.
Okay.
Now Peter was sitting without in the court, and a maid came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and saith unto them that were there, This man also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I know not the man. And after a little while, they that stood by came and said to Peter, Of a truth, thou also art one of them, for thy speech maketh thee known. Then began he to curse and to swear, I know not the man. And straightway the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having not only been with Jesus and walked with him day by day by day, but having been the one to tell Jesus, we're not going to leave you. He says, I'll stand and die with you. And then when it came right down to it, what did he do? He denied
The flesh failed him.
Yeah, absolutely. Terribly. He denied he even knew Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And it says, and he went out and he wept bitterly because of his sin, because of his weakness. And you can imagine the state that would have put him in, because that would have been the last time he saw Jesus before he was crucified. So you think about that and you think, boy, I just ruined everything. And talk about the depression that would set in.
It'd be
just unbearable. Let's do one more, Jonathan, before the break here. And this is the Apostle Paul.
And we'll read from 2 Timothy 4, verses 10 through 16. For Demas forsook me, having loved this present world, and went to Thessalonica. Crescens to Galilea. Titus to
Dalmatia.
Dalmatia, thank you. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is useful to me for ministering. But
Tychicus
I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas and Carpus, bring them when thou comest, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord will render to him according to his works. Of whom do thou also beware, for he greatly withstood our words. At my first defense no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account.
And here the Apostle Paul is near the end of his life, and he's talking about his recent experiences in his letter to Timothy, and it's depressing. Only Luke is with me. Everybody else has deserted me. When I was at my first defense, no one took my part. They all forsook me. Hey, this one did evil, and on and on. And you know, he's in a situation where it's very difficult to carry the weight of his experience. And that's really what depression in it is the inability to carry the weight of one's experience. And Jonathan, we're going to go into a break at this point. We're a couple minutes late here. So as we go into the break, folks, we're talking about the examples of people in the scriptures who were depressed. And when we come back, we're going to see what can we do about being depressed.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 102.3 FM WXLM. Give us a call after the break, 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
Welcome back to Christian Questions with Jonathan and Rick.
Our subject this segment, what can you do if you're depressed? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And, folks, we are talking about the idea of depression and how it works and all that stuff. And, Jonathan, we have a call, so we're going to go directly to that call. For some reason, we cut you off. Call us right back.
Okay. Welcome to Christian Questions, Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Good morning. This is Julius.
Good morning, Julius.
Gentlemen, what a great topic.
Yeah, it's depressing, though, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It's so widespread.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just complex and trying and difficult. Anything that I may share with you briefly here, I want to make sure to say that it is with sympathy, with empathy, you know, toward the victims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's so many. I was shocked when I heard some time ago by a radio commentator that more medication is bought. Is used for depression than any other.
Mm.
It is the number one seller for a disease, you know, a medication for a disease. It's for depression. And in any case, in my capacity, the way I see the issue is, sadly, it's unsimplistic, but In one phase or in one way, it alludes to the causes self pity.
Okay.
Hear me out now. Also, there is the basic approach to cause and effect. The cause is, I think you already mentioned this. You already brought it out, and I think we agree on it that there is a body chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chemical imbalance in the human body. Now, and the effect is depression and mental disorders. You mentioned King David.
Yes.
The great King David, one of the great kings, David. He messed up his life big time, didn't he?
Over and over.
Over and over. Another one is his predecessor.
Right.
He succeeded King Saul.
Right.
Now, King Saul was a great king until he disobeyed God, until he separated himself from God's law and obeying his commandments. Once he did that, then he became troubled. He became so depressed. You recall he wanted to see a witch? The witch of Endor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how depressed he became. Alienation from God leads to separation, leads to depression. It's as simple. I mean, it sounds simplistic, but that's my evaluation of it. About 50 years ago, before you were even born, Rick.
That's right. Let that be stated.
I'm guessing here.
You're right.
A psychiatrist in the Reader's Digest wrote an article, and the point of the article was that if people would study the Bible, he, the psychiatrist, would be out of business. So there is a great antidote for you, okay? Keeping busy, reading, analyzing, being so... I've said to myself and others with my peers, if you could be so busy helping others, you would not have time to be depressed. That's another way of looking at it, okay? I'm not saying that's the whole answer. But I'll give you one scripture in closing, my thoughts here. Isaiah 26:3 in part says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Thank you for sharing. God bless. Have a good day.
Thank you, Julius. We appreciate your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we are glad that Julius called in, gave his medical perspective there.
And, that was a great scripture.
Yeah, you know what? It really was. And what we're going to find out as we go through this scriptural antidote, if you will, for depression, that concept of keeping our mind stayed on God is a very, very important part of dealing with this difficult stuff. Now, I do want to add one thing. There are some of these difficulties that absolutely, because of their seriousness, need medical attention and all of that. And again, we want to make sure that folks, that you don't misinterpret what we're doing here. We're having a discussion on what to do if you're depressed, but we're not medical doctors, nor do we pretend to be. We're not trying to diagnose something. We're just saying, look, there's these different kinds of things out there, and there happens to be a very significant system for dealing with such things in the scriptures. There are, however, types of depression that are beyond that kind of thing and need medication, and they need medical attention, and you cannot avoid that. So that being said, Jonathan, let us, in the last few minutes of this first hour, just let's take a couple of minutes and go back to WebMD.com, because they have a little segment in there on exercise and depression, and it's very interesting. It fits in with some of what Julius was saying.
And this actually starts our second question. Is there a biblical process for overcoming depression?
Okay.
Well, so, Rick, the first point is exercise and depression. Exercise reduces stress, anxiety, and depression.
Okay, so physical exercise. And this is what exercise has been proven to do. Next point is it boosts self-esteem.
It also will improve sleep.
Exercise also has these following health benefits. It strengthens the heart.
Makes the body better, able to use oxygen.
Builds energy levels.
Lowers blood pressure.
Improves muscle tone and strength.
Strengthens and builds bones.
Helps reduce body fat.
Makes you look fit and healthy.
So, and when they ask the question, exercise and depression, what's the link? They say that research has shown that exercise is an effective but often underused treatment for mild to moderate depression. And it's interesting, Jonathan, because they talk about it as an underused treatment. And let me ask you, Jonathan, have you ever been depressed?
More times than I'd like to admit.
And so have I. And in that circumstance, when you're in that place, is the very first thing you want to do is to get up and go out and exercise?
Not at all.
No, you just want to vegetate. You know, you just want to withdraw from the world. You want to be just be in your own little corner in your own little chair, you know. But that's
but
medically, that's the wrong thing to do. Jonathan, we have a call, so we're going to take that right now.
Welcome. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
It's Don. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I had opened my book to Psalm 143.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it. At the end of it, we pray to God to destroy our enemies.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. Got an enemy, got a problem, God will destroy him. End of depression. Does that work for you?
Actually, the process in Psalm 143 is much more comprehensive than that.
Well, you left out the juicy part, gentlemen.
We didn't even get to the juicy part yet, but I think the juicy part is the process that it lays out verse by verse in helping us understand what's going on and how to right ourselves, if you will.
Chapter 143, verse 12, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess if Ford starts losing sales of cars to General Motors, God should just destroy General Motors, and it would make Ford happy.
Well, I suppose you can call them enemies, but I would call them more competition.
Well, competitors are enemies in the world of commerce.
No, stop.
That's
going too far there, brother.
If Bobby Fischer is beating Boris Spassky, Boris should pray to God to destroy Bobby Fischer.
No, you're really getting this one out of hand. That's just a gross misapplication of things.
Well, why are people depressed?
Why? Well, like we said earlier in the program, there's many, many reasons why people get depressed. I mean, changes in life can make them depressed. You know, you lose a loved one, and you get depressed.
Well, yes, and then there are apparently medical reasons as well, imbalances of different chemicals within the body. But wait a minute. The intelligent designer designed that body.
Yes.
If people are depressed, that's a function of the intelligent designer who made us that way.
Oh, so you're saying it's a flaw in the design.
Or, no, I wouldn't put that idea in front of you two faithful folk, because you're just going to tell me that it's part of God's awesome plan.
Yes. I'm glad
so
you know that.
All right.
Well, I don't say I agree with it. I say that I anticipate that response.
Okay.
From the dynamic duo of the radio waves. But we're told by God's Son to pray that God's will be done on earth. And if God makes people liable to depression, who, in all obedience, is man to resist that divine construction of depressed people?
Okay, I can see where you're coming from on that one.
I sarcastically wonder why you even bring up matters of science. Because isn't the intelligence of the intelligent designer paramount and superior to that of man?
Well, the intelligence of the intelligent designer is, that's where true science comes from. It comes from that intelligence.
Well, true science comes from men. And Christians express their view of scientists.
Okay,
when
Listen, Don, we're really near the end of the hour
Let
here.
Let me hop out of the way and catch you on the far side.
That'll be good. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Appreciate it. As we continue with this part of our discussion, Jonathan, a couple of things. You know, some of the things that Don was saying, you know, okay, if we're created in the image of God and all that, and, you know, it's by God's design, you know, God built us. Why is it that... Why do you resist those things? And again, the bottom line is, Don is right. Our response, the dynamic duo of the airwaves, this is the response. Never been called that before. But the response to this, I think, is really, in my mind, it makes very, very clear sense. Remember that according to the scriptures, we are in a situation where we're in a world where sin reigns. And when sin reigns, things are not balanced. There was something lost from when original sin occurred. And what was lost was the balance that was given to life. Because man is a free moral agent, but living in a sinful environment, depression happens. And it is a natural outgrowth of the ups and downs of life, of the difficulties that we face. The question is, in dealing with that circumstance of disadvantage living in a sinful world, the intelligent designer didn't leave us without answers. And I think that, to me, that is part of the love and the mercy of that intelligent designer. He allows us to go through this time of misery, but doesn't leave us without clues and answers as to how to deal with
it.
Right, right. And that's really what we're going to get into in the second hour. We're going to be talking, we got less than a minute left for this hour, Jonathan. But we're going to be getting into, and folks, if you're following along with your Bible, pick up your Bible and turn to Psalm 143, because we're going to especially look at verses 3 through 10 and use this as a model for dealing with that the depression that might come upon us from time to time. And verse by verse, I think it gives us a sense of things to do and ways to position ourselves so that as we have to deal with depression, and everybody does, I mean, you know, if there's somebody who tells you that they never, ever get depressed, I think they just ignore or forget about the times that they do. And maybe some people don't get depressed for long periods of time like others, but we all go through those feelings of despair and hopelessness, even if it's for a short period of time. And I will tell you folks that when you go through those things, they certainly are very, very uncomfortable. There is hope, though, because in the scriptures, there is a process that helps us to learn to deal with such things. And as we mentioned in the second hour, we will be dealing with that specifically. For Jonathan and Rick, this is Christian Questions. What can you do if you're depressed? After the news, we'll be back with some biblical perspective on the matter, so stay with us. Till then, what can you do if you're depressed? Think about it. This is Rick with Christian Questions, and you're probably expecting to be listening to the second part of our program, What Can You Do If You're Depressed? Well, I have a confession to make. I messed up. I accidentally deleted the audio file for this program, so you can't listen to it. Sorry about that. If you do have an interest in finding out some of the material on that second half of the program, we'd be happy to help you out with that. Let us know on the web at www.christianquestions.net. Or you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320, and ask us about it, and we'd be glad to send you some information. Again, I apologize for the mistake. It happens. It did happen, and we'll try to not let it happen again. In the meantime, God bless your search for clarity and understanding His one truth, and check out another program and see what you think. Take care.